You know, that's just the body doing what the body's supposed to do. Can we all agree? Listen to how hungry the world is. They're telling other people, I want to get baptized. And all he had to do was say, hey, do you want to get baptized? Yes. And then come over to my house and we'll get baptized. It wasn't go see anybody else. It was come to my house. I'll make lunch. We'll get baptized. I hope you drain that hot tub because I'm not coming to your house unless you drain that thing if you're baptizing people in it. You got to get rid of that stuff to come out of them, you know what I mean? But can I just encourage you that when people ask, don't hesitate, don't look for somebody else. You are the mediators of righteousness on the earth. You are the ones that God has sent now to set people free. All power and authority has been deposited in you and you lack nothing, absolutely nothing to set people free. The only thing that's needed maybe is some of your time. Some of your time. If you need a hot tub, call Mike. He can set you up. All right? You can use his anytime. If people are baptized, he don't care. You know, it's getting a little bit chillier. But can I just tell you, I'm just so encouraged. So encouraged. Four more people swept into the kingdom of God. That's what we're here for. Right? The body of Christ on Sunday morning, we're here to worship God, to come together, to encourage each other, to bow before the King, and then to be trained and equipped to go out and do something. Oh, and that if every man, woman, and child here did something this coming week, the kingdom explodes in the Columbia and Greene counties. Amen? The kingdom explodes. If you'll tell one person, the kingdom just starts to explode because they're lost, hurting, and they're hungry. And they're looking for someone just to bring them the word of God. And they're looking for direction. Just a couple announcements quick. Baby bottle drive. Don't forget, bring your baby bottles back in full of change. It's one of their biggest fundraisers for the Alight Pregnancy Center. Girls' night at the Tomlinson's house. Ladies, you're out. But the young girls, September 22nd from 7 to 9, okay, for all those teenagers. Next week, we've got a little video shoot that's going to happen here next week, making a little commercial for the web, for the webpage. And it's going to also be on the City of Hudson. So anybody that types in the City of Hudson, our church logo will be on there. They click on that. It'll be just a short one. So they're going to video our worship service, a little bit of preaching, the teens, the young ones, whatever. So that's going to be next Sunday during service, all right? So brush your teeth next week, all right? But, yeah, don't be distracted. Just cameras. We don't care. We don't care about them. We do. We want to get them saved. But we come to worship the King, amen? And so that's going to be next Sunday, to be prepared for that. Also, we just want to, before we begin, I just want to pray for Jay Brennan and old Jay Edgar. He's in the hospital. He's been in there for about a week, and he's got fluid on his lungs. They can't figure out where it's coming from. So let's just pray for Jay. Father, we thank you for Jay this morning. Lord, we're so thankful for our faithful friend. Lord, we pray that you would touch him this morning, strengthen those lungs, heal him in the name of Jesus. Lord, that as he leaves the hospital and joins us again to worship the King of Glory, for the word of, for the will of God. Lord, that he would be strong, he would be healed, and he would be delivered right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I think we've already had a good time in the presence of God, praying for people, testimonies, and this is what church is supposed to be about. Amen. That's what it's supposed to be about. And you know, when we look in the news right now, it's the worst thing you could do, personally. I'm just telling you, there's nothing good on it, all right? And it doesn't matter which one you watch. Which one you watch, every one of them brings an evil report. Can we agree? Every one of them, there's one thing they're trying to do, and what is that? And make money. And they'll compromise everything to make a dollar bill and get the ratings. And they've proven that over and over and over again. All right? So this morning, and you know what? Sometimes it happens in our lives too. So this morning I'm going to do a teaching on the defilement of an evil report. It's funny how you don't hear shouts and screams, yay, man, woo! Because everybody's like, oh no, here we go. Okay, so what is an evil report? An evil report involves distortion of facts. Watch the news. Incomplete facts. Watch the news. False information. Watch the news. It's given with the wrong motivation. Watch the news. And can cause the hearer to come to inaccurate conclusion and respond with unscriptural solutions. Watch the news. There's nothing spiritual about watching the news. All right? Everything is about the carnality of man and one trying to overrule another or win your approval. Instead of simply stating the facts, which is good journalism, and letting you make your decision, they figure that you're not smart enough to make your own decision, so we're going to make it for you. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm smart enough. I'm smart enough. Yeah. For what God called you to do. You've got everything you have need of. But the governments around the world has nothing to do with just America. This is around the world. They have decided that now they're going to manipulate everything in order to get you to conform, to become the sheep that they can command. But we've got one commander in chief, and his name is Jesus Christ. And the sheep know his voice. They hear his voice, and we walk according to his word. Amen? Proverbs 26, verse 28. It says, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Now, that strife, it means provoking one against another. And we can all agree that every one of us have been guilty of that at one time in our lives. Amen? Some people are like, I'm not moving. I'm not saying a word. I am not agreeing to that one. You don't have to. You're human. Therefore, we have all made the mistakes in the past. And we'll make some in the future, too, won't we? Sometimes we get hurt and we make decisions based on the pain rather than righteousness. Can we all agree? And so a perverse man sows strife. That's what they do. And a whisperer separates chief friends. And I guarantee you that everyone in here has had a friend where at one time or another, either by you or by someone else, there's been brought a separation and division. Even within churches, it constantly happens. Why? Because of the weakness of our flesh. Our flesh is weak at times. Well, it's really weak all the time. But our spirit is strong. And God wants us to walk together in agreement. But if we're going to whisper and bring strife, then we're going to bring destruction into every relationship that we have. You know, there's stages of defilement, and it's sort of like a disease. And so stage one would be ignorance. Stage two would be exposure. Stage three would be contamination. Stage four, infection. And stage five, a disease working to destroy life. Isn't that what happens with every disease that comes? And so as we look at number one, ignorance, in 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. One of the things that he does, he's known as the father of what? Lies. He's a liar. He's been a liar in the beginning, and he's a liar now. And he tries to divide everyone in this room. He wants you divided. He wants every marriage divided. That's his greatest stronghold, because he knows if he destroys the marriage, he destroys America. It's really that simple. Right. Take the word of God out of America and then destroy the marriages, and then children don't have a way to walk, and they walk in a busted up with insecurities and fears. He knows he wants to destroy marriages. Our government got involved in that back in the late 30s and 40s when they came out with a great new deal and they said, we'll pay you as long as that man isn't in the house. You can have children, we'll pay you as long as he's not in the house. And they started paying to destroy families. That's what happened. That was the whole goal. That was the purpose. Because they know, here's what the word of God says, that a man leaves his wife, or I'm sorry. That was Cleve. A man leaves his mother and father, and he cleaves to his wife. Amen? All right. I'm staying, baby. I'm staying. He leaves his mother and father and he cleaves to his wife. God established marriage. That was the plan from the beginning. It has not changed. Regardless of what man has done, but man knows that in order to control the next generation and brainwash them, you've got to take the authority out of the house or get the man out of the house. It's really that simple. And that's what the enemy's goal was. These guys are just puppets. And the governments are just puppets being played because they want authority, they want control, they want power. And so therefore they have to get it so that we become those that are weak and don't know. We don't know who we are. We don't know what our purpose is. We don't know why we were created. And therefore we'll walk according to the beat of a different drummer. There's only one drummer in our lives and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's the beat we walk according to. So we can't be ignorant of his devices. We can't be. He's a liar and he does it continually and he's very good at whispering. How many times did he whisper to you last night? Can you stop thoughts from coming into your head? No, you can't. You can't stop a thought. You can grab a hold of that thought. The Bible says, take every thought captive. But thoughts come in, you're like, where the heck did that come from? Where in the world did that come from? Thoughts just keep coming. We can't be ignorant of his devices. That's why we must know the word of God, know whether it came from the Father or whether it came from the Father of lies, one of the two. So every thought that comes, we've got to check it against the word of God. Why do we need to read the word of God every morning, noon, and night, putting it before our eyes and spending time with the Father so we can hear the voice of the Holy Ghost? And we know that the word that just came was a lie. And that whisper that says, you can't change people's lives. You're a loser. It's a thought that comes. Give up. Just stay home. You don't need to go to church. Those people are crazy. They are. They're so crazy. They're baptizing people in hot tubs now. I mean, this is getting out of control. Amen? But this is what the enemy does. He has them little words that he gives you. She's not good. There's others that will treat you better. What a bunch of garbage that is. Isn't that amazing? Every time the lie comes, it's always about me making out better. It's never, hey, here's the lie. If you follow the word of God, your wife will get stronger. Oh, yeah, that's true. The devil never comes with them, does he? Hey, if you spend some more time in prayer, I bet your marriage will get better. The devil never tries to scare us with them or tries to manipulate us with them or try to control us with those words. They only come from the Father. He only brings the ones that says destroy, 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 ruin, rip apart, tear down, rip to pieces. And I don't think there's a marriage out there where we haven't had either wrong thoughts or wrong words that have come out of our mouths at times. Me and my wife agree. The rest of you is, you're lying. Just so we're clear. Many times Satan will use a tiny seed, right? We know that it's a seed of faith, the scripture says, right? Everyone is given a measure of faith. And there's a seed, and in that seed, there's enough for that tree to grow. Everything that tree needs, right, to become a full-fledged, mighty oak tree is all in that little bitty seed when it's put in good ground and it's watered with the word of God, that what God had placed on the inside of us is able to be produced in us and through us. Can we all agree on that? Well, there's also a seed of destruction that the enemy tries to plant in our lives, and we've got to find out what that is. Because if it's jealousy, that's a seed that he likes to put in people's lives. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. You're not like them. Maybe it's a seed of arrogance where you don't need that. You can do it in your own strength. A seed of pride. It says, unless everybody comes and asks me, I'm not saying nothing. Whatever it is, there's seeds that the enemy tries to plant. Rejection is a huge seed that he tries to stuff into every single person in this house. Because if he can keep you rejected, if he can make you believe that God will reject you and that you're rejected by the body of Christ, you'll disappear. You won't come to church. How many people aren't coming to church this morning because they felt rejected? whether it's by somebody sitting next to you or by leadership, that seed the enemy tries to deposit in there and tries to separate chief friends. Tell your neighbor, say, you're my chief friend. Tell your other neighbor, say, you're my chief friend too. He tries to separate the body of Christ. He wants to rip it apart. That's his whole goal. Who gives evil reports? The scripture uses one. It says a whisperer, one who secretly passes evil reports on to others. Anybody here ever been a whisperer? Don't raise your hand, because we know you all did. We've all whispered at times things that we shouldn't have said. But this is what God wants us to get stronger in our walk and stop whispering about one another. Right? There's certain things we got to deal with. The Bible said, judge all things according to righteousness, right? So if there's things, if there's monstrous sin going on, we've got to deal with that as a leadership, and we've got to come and confront it. But that's where it ends, right there. That's where it ends. We deal with it and then it ends. So a whisperer is one who secretly passes evil reports on to others. Psalms 41:7, David said, all who hate me whisper against me. All who hate me. And I know this isn't the feel-good, fun Sunday word. I realize that. But we need to get cut sometimes, amen? Because there's a cutting away. And sometimes, you know, as we go... And one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this morning was because there's so much of this that goes on in the social media. Facebook, Twitter, whatever the social media platform is. I forget what one man said. I think it was Senator Kennedy. Senator Kennedy said that it made it easier for people to be a part of the anatomy, a bigger part of the anatomy. He said, that's what the social media, because there's no recourse. You can say whatever you want. You can act like a jerk, put it out there, and you don't care. And it's whispering, and it's putting things on it that's destroying people's lives. I've seen posts from Christians that's despicable. Absolutely terrible things that Christians have put on Facebook, ripping other Christians to pieces. Horrible. Why do we do that as men and women of God? Why is it that you got to prove that you're right? I'm not on social media much. I'm going to put something out there. I'm going to put something that builds the body of Christ. I'm going to throw a scripture out there. I don't like putting pictures on it just because they own that picture for the rest of your life. Well, and your children's lives and your grandchildren's lives and your great-grandchildren's lives. They own the pictures forever. And a lot of the people that are out there aren't the nicest people. But one thing that breaks my heart is when Christians start hammering one another and then complaining about other people on social media instead of building the kingdom of God. Listen, if you got a problem with a brother, what's the scripture say to do? Go to the brother. It didn't say lay it out there on social media so everybody knows just how immature you are. Because that's what it boils down to. It's pathetic what's happened in the kingdom. We know what the world's going to bring, but in the kingdom, we've got to take and we've got to raise the standard. In this house, we don't have control over other houses, well, except for those that are watching. Yeah, that's right, you guys too. Listen, we're all in this together. But we've got to raise the standard, not drop down to their standard. We've got to say, listen, we're not going to get involved in that foolishness. I'm going to build, I'm going to strengthen, I'm going to give to building the kingdom of God. That's where I'm going to spend my time and my efforts. All who hate me whisper against me. Gossip. The one who magnifies rumors and partial information. Listen, if you don't have all the information, keep it to yourself. And then go ask. Proverbs 26:22, it says, the words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body. Isn't that true? People say, hey, did you hear? And we take it and it goes all the way down in there. And all of a sudden we start to see some, you might not even have met them yet, but it went down into the deepest inner parts of who we are. And all of a sudden we look, when we meet them, we say, oh, I know about them. You don't even know them. You've already got an attitude. You've already got a thought process of how you're going to treat them because of what we have heard. How about we ask them next time? People leaking information. There's more leaks in Washington than all the leaks I fixed in 35 years of plumbing. They leak things out there all the time. They gossip and murmur and throw out rumors just to bury somebody. Look at, they know, governments know just how the devil works because they are his handymen and women. They know how this works. They know how the human mind works. There's the slanderer, one who seeks to destroy another's reputation or credibility with damaging facts, distortions of the facts, or evil suspicions. Again, social media's got some issues. I think it's one of the most amazing inventions ever, with all the information of everything that's ever happened at your fingertips that you can study. There's nothing you can't find out on the internet. The problem is there's always abuses, because no matter what's been created, there's always abuses. Numbers 14:36 says, as for the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land and who returned and made all the congregation grumble against him by bringing out a bad report concerning the land. Now, we know what happened. Moses took, what kind of men did he take? Do you know? Says he took leading men, seasoned men, men who have already been proven. That's what he did. So it can happen to all of us. Amen? It can happen to every single one of us that we can get caught up in gossip. It can happen to anybody. These guys were trained, seasoned, and these were men that have already stood and passed a whole bunch of the tests. And he sent 12 of them into... He sent 12 of them into the land to spy out the land, and they came back, and what did they do? They turned the people away from the authority. They grumbled and complained. They denied the power of God. What did God's word say? God told them, he said, I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to bring you into the land, and it's yours. You're going to eat from the vines that you didn't plant. You're going to eat from the garden. You're going to live in homes that you didn't build. And he sent out 12 spies. Two of them came back with a good report. The other ones all murmured, grumbled, complained, and they looked with their natural eyes and they trusted nothing in God. And when we get caught up in murmuring and gossip and slander, we get caught up in the natural man. And God's got a bigger plan for each and every one of us. Amen? Number four, a busybody, one who digs up reports and makes it his or her business to spread them by means of gossip, slander, and whispering. Tell your neighbor, say, don't be a busybody. Tell your other neighbor, say, stop being a bit. No, don't be a busybody. Don't slander. Don't dig things up. Don't go looking for stuff. We've got, because if we spend time in the Word of God, we spend time in prayer and listening to the leading of the Holy Ghost, then we're going to figure out what God wants for us to do. We're going to go proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. And listen, your Saturday will be taken up leading people to Christ, getting them baptized in the Holy Spirit and cooking lunch for them. That's what we're supposed to be giving our time to, amen? Not all this other crazy stuff. 1 Peter 4:15, it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Isn't that amazing? It's put in the same verse as murder. You need to read that and underline that in your Bible and highlight that with everything. It's in the same context of murder, because you are destroying the very body that God is building, the very body that God is putting together. Because every person in here, is a different part of the body of Christ. And you're very, very valuable. You're very valuable, created by God in His image with purpose in every area. But when we start to gossip and tear each other apart, we start to murder the body of Christ. And we've got to stop. We've got to stop. In James chapter 3 and verses 14 to 18, he said, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly and sensual and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." Look at, you don't stop with just with that. It's every evil work starts to come in when there's envying and strife. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them who make peace." That's what God's called us to, amen? Because the King of Peace has come into our lives. Can you make sure, hey Steve, can you make sure that the air conditioner's on, not just the fans? Okay. I don't know about you guys, but it feels sticky up here. Oh, you guys are cold? Oh, all right. No? They're hot over there. All right. Steve, can you go up here and just fan that side? Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16, he says, "You shall not." That's pretty definitive, isn't it? "You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord." Listen, there's nothing, there's no gray area here. The Bible says that we're to love our neighbors, amen? He said you're supposed to love your enemies. Sometimes both of them live in the same house. Can we agree? Right, but it doesn't give you the right or the freedom to go and badmouth them, belittle them, berate them to other people around. Your job, my job, is to pray for my neighbors, to bless them even when they curse me. And I've got now a neighbor that does. Whoo! She's called me every name in the book and never guessed mine. But you know what? I pray, we pray for them all the time, the whole family. We pray for the whole family. My wife sometimes will meet her and just pray for her, lay hands on her, nicest, sweetest person you ever met. And it's just like that flip and that flop. You never know what you're going to get. But it doesn't give us the right or the freedom to say, bring up their name and try to destroy and try to berate and try to belittle and then try to justify your stance. That's not what we have the freedom to do. So motivations for hearing an evil report. How many know your ears are a big problem? Yeah. Somebody brings an evil report or some gossip and all of a sudden you got elephant ears. Them things is this big. Why? Because, hey, somebody is less than me. Number one, bitterness. Scripture says in Hebrews 12:15, "Do not let the root of bitterness well up in you." So it's bitterness, rebellion, deception, pride, guilt, and envy. Those are some motivations for hearing just because we want to hear about somebody else doing worse than us. How Satan uses an evil report? He uses it to discredit spiritual leadership. Isn't that what they did in the book of Numbers? They came back and tried to discredit the word that Moses had from the Lord. They tried to turn all the people away. Just before that, remember when Aaron and Miriam, they came and they grumbled against Moses and says, "Oh, who says you're the only one that can hear from the Lord?" And they attacked spiritual leadership. Listen, if you ever are going to lead spiritually anywhere, get ready to get attacked. Right? If you ever plan on getting married and having kids, get ready to get attacked. Because the enemy wants to destroy the husband and wife in order to get to the children. Right? And what was that one comedian he said? He said, "I think that the reason why God created, gave us, or God gave us children is so that we would experience creating something that denies your existence. Because over time, they think they're a little bit smarter than you are, right? But, you know, if you're going to lead spiritually, you're going to be attacked. People are going to say horrible things about you. This is where we have to get strong enough in who we are in Jesus Christ that we don't take the attacks personally, and then we attack. But we simply take the attack, we filter it through the Word of God, and the Bible says that we're to rejoice when we're attacked for righteousness' sake. Amen? We're those that are supposed to rejoice. When people speak evil of us, we just rejoice in the Lord when it's in righteousness, right? We have to act in right. We have to act righteously all the way through that. We cannot be those that go off and get distracted. But the enemy always wants to discredit spiritual leadership. He wants to cause Christians to close their spirit toward one another. He wants to multiply conflicts and produce more ungodliness. He wants to promote non-Christians and to mock Christianity and reject Jesus Christ. I've read quite a few on the Christian websites as far as, you know, they're hiring 86,000 or 87,000 new IRS agents. And the one guy said, churches, get ready because they're coming after you. No doubt in my mind, because the enemy wants to shut down the Word of God, right? Has nothing to do with our church. It has to do with the Word of God and shutting it down. And that's what they said. I was like, well, whatever. They got to do what they got to do, but we're going to preach the Word of God. Whether the doors are open or doors are closed, that's why we have life groups. Amen? Exposure. Exposure means entering into a conversation with a person who is a carrier of an evil report. Proverbs 27:12, it says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. So he's saying if you're simple-minded, you're going to listen to all the garbage that everybody speaks about. But if you're wise, you're going to say, hey, I want nothing to do with that. That's not what I want to be a part of. How to detect a carrier of an evil report. Uh-oh. This is how we're going to know. A carrier will test your spirit. Right? They'll check to see if you're willing to accept an evil report. Did you hear? No. They're waiting to see how you respond. They're waiting to see how you, if you join in, how eager you are to hear something. Did you hear about Judy Halstead? Of course you did. Of course you did. You know her, some of you. But when the enemy tries to bring something evil to destroy, he's going to pick people that you know, some of them. And that inside, the weakness inside of them is going to test you to see how willing you are to join in and come and be a part of that. They want to check your acceptance to see if the report is received. It's done by dropping a negative comment and observing your response or asking your opinion of the person. A carrier will often get you to ask for the evil report by using curiosity. Have you heard, or wait until I tell you? How many times have you started a sentence like that? I'm looking down so you don't have to think I'm thinking about you. A carrier may communicate an evil report by asking for counsel. And a carrier is usually one who evokes vivid details of evil and will even search them out. How to detect an evil report? 5 questions to ask before listening to an evil report. What is the reason for you telling me? You want to shut things down? What's the reason you're telling me this? If they say, hey, did you hear about Malaysia? What's your reason for telling me this? Oh, I'm just saying. You ask the right questions. Listen, you'll understand what's coming, and you'll be able to defer that, block that, and not get caught up in it. So you might have a negative connotation where there was nothing wrong. except someone else wanting to gossip, which we know he put that in the same context or the same verse as murder. We don't want to destroy the body of Christ. We're here to build the body of Christ. Amen? Tell your neighbors, I'm here to build you up. Tell your other neighbors, say, I want to build you up too. Right. That's why we're here. Question number two, where did you get the information from? Now, if they refuse to identify the source, you know what you're about to get. Because you're no journalist. You're not protecting your sources. And if they're going to protect their sources, you know you probably don't need to listen to it. Number three, third question, have you gone to those directly involved? Oh, that's a fun one. That is a fun one. Restoration is always our goal. Can we agree? Every marriage in here, whenever they come for marriage counseling, our goal is restoration. Right? If anyone in here stumbles and fallen, and we all have in some way, shape, or form, the word over top of the church is one word, restoration. We want to restore you to a right relationship with the Father and then restore every single person to a right relationship with one another so that we can love one another. Amen? See, that's the idea of it. When we ask these questions, it shuts it down, and it needs to be shut down because it's being fed into every avenue that can possibly be feeding or people could be feeding on, whether it's the news or whether it's social media. Every single one is bringing in information to try to destroy, attacking, ripping to shreds this great country. Can I tell you, I think, in my personal opinion, it's the greatest country on the earth. Yeah. I've been in a lot of them. We have great freedom here. We still do. But most Christians are too afraid to go out and preach the word of God. A lot of people don't want to agree with that because we haven't preached the word of God, so I'm not even getting in this one. You have freedom to go out and preach the word of God wherever you want to preach it. You have freedom to pray for people anywhere you want to go pray for them, don't we? Yeah. I would encourage you to enjoy that benefit quickly. Because there's one thing they want to stop is you proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord. You're too close-minded. You're too narrow-minded. He said, look, it's a narrow path. There's one gate you're going through, and his name is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. It is narrow. It is only the blood of Jesus Christ that washes away sins. There's no wiggle room in that. And they can badmouth us and complain about us all they want, but I want you to know you have great favor right now to go preach the word of God on any street corner you want. How to detect a new report. Number four, have you personally checked out all the facts? Is that a good question to ask? Did you check out all of these facts? Before they even tell you, no. Well, who told you? Well, I heard it from Mabel on the switchboard. And then number five, my favorite. May I quote you if I check this out? All right. You want to shut down the gossip that's all around in your life? You want to limit your friends? We all need to. You want to limit your friends? Ask them, hey, can I quote you on this when I go ask? Watch how they respond. All of a sudden, no, this is just being me and you, brother. Proverbs 18:8, it said, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. If you turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 10, I'm going to read that quickly. It says, after this had happened, that Absalom, everybody knows him, provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. So it was, whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision, that Absalom would call to him and say, what city are you from? And he would say, your servant is from such and such a tribe of Israel. Then Absalom would say to him, look, your case is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you. Moreover, Absalom would say, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me, then I would give him justice." And so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. In this manner, Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said to the king, "Please let me go to Hebron and pay the vow which I made to the Lord. For your servant took a vow while I dwelt in Geshur in Syria, saying that if the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord." And the king said to him, "Go in peace." So he arose and he went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "As soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron." So a couple of things. Then verse 7 there, number 1, it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said to the king. What does that tell you? David didn't deal with it. You think he knew what was going on around in his kingdom? You think somebody sitting out there by the gate, everybody didn't tell him that Absalom was stealing the hearts of the men and women from Israel? You don't think he didn't know, being the king of it all? He knew what was going on, but he didn't deal with it properly. And so this is what happens when you don't deal with gossip and murmuring and complaining and all that. We don't deal with it properly. Guess what? It doesn't just go away on its own. It doesn't. You got to cut that thing's head off. You got to cut that serpent's head off, because it will destroy entire families. But he said, "Oh, that I were made judge of the land, and everyone who has a suit or cause would come to me, then I would give him justice." That incredible. We always think a little bit more highly of ourselves than we ought. And we need to shut it down, because this is what happens. It'll destroy and rip an entire country apart, or a kingdom apart. Proverbs 14 and 15, it says, "The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps." In Proverbs 26, 21, it says, "As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife or division." If you're contentious, when you come in, do you always try to find out what's wrong? Do you always try to stir up trouble? Are you always looking to try to become someone? Do you have to talk about yourself all the time? Or are we there to build and strengthen and encourage others? Because if it's always about us, then we're going to look for faults in others. Amen? But when we come to know who we are in Jesus Christ, guess what? We just want to find out the gift in each other and pull it out, so that each one gets stronger in their gifting and their anointing in order to serve the King of Glory and draw more souls unto him. That's what our goal is. Once we find out who we are, and then people start to slander, "Why? No, I did that already. I don't want nothing to do with that. I'm good. Sorry. Can I quote you on that, what you're telling me?" You'll shut it down. An infection is responding to an evil report with human reasonings and emotions rather than spiritual understanding and genuine love. And in Proverbs 17:4, it says, "An evildoer gives heed to false lips, and a liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue." Isn't that amazing? If you're an evildoer, you're going to listen to false lips. That's what God puts it in that. He's very serious about this. He's very serious about this, about attacking authority. We know Lucifer attacked the authority in eternity, and he tried to overthrow God, and God cast him out. And then he once again, he said in Genesis, did God say? He's always attacking authority, and that's usually what happens in most cases. Symptoms of infection: forming a negative opinion based on a report, believing an evil report is true, focusing on negative aspects of a person involved, interpreting a person's words or actions as supporting evidence, judging motives on the basis of an evil report, backing away from the person in your spirit. You know, I would encourage you to just think about it this morning. Is there anybody that you've heard an evil report about? Maybe it's me. And you backed away. Maybe somebody else in this room. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a spouse. That you've heard something, something's hurt you, and you pulled back. Maybe you formed a wrong opinion of someone because of things that have either happened or things that somebody has shared with you. I want to encourage you this morning. Have you pulled back in your spirit away from people because of hurts and pains? Because of gossip or a lie? And you and the Holy Ghost will have to deal with that. And I want to encourage you to really deal with it and then go to the person, even if you have to, and say, listen, I apologize. This is what I heard. Is this true? Isn't that what we should do? Right? Find out if it's true. Because maybe they're weak in an area. And you're supposed to be the one that helps restore them. Isn't that what God does for each one of us? We're all weak in our ability to get washed from our sins or to work our way into righteousness. We are all too weak for that. It couldn't happen. So what did Jesus do? He went to the cross and died for us. Why? So we could be strong. He said, when you're weak, I'm going to make you strong. Your strength is in me. When you can't do it, I'll carry you. I will make a way where you can't even figure out a way. I'll be the lifter of your head. No matter how many times you fall, you'll fall into my hands. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You never have to worry about being weak again. Isn't he so good? But we as the body need to go down that same route. That I'm here. You're here to make everyone around you strong. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15, it says, pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see God or see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. See, because when we start to gossip, we defile many, not just one. Everybody involved gets defiled. And if there's anything that the TV is doing right now, it wants to defile everyone so you don't know who to trust. Isn't that what they're doing? Removing trust from every institution there is on the planet. From the White House right on down. Heaven forbid we get involved in tearing apart leadership in our country. Our job was to pray for those in leadership. Amen? See, because if you'll get involved in one area, the enemy will give you many areas. But if we'll pray for those that are in authority over us, then God can change a nation. But when we say it's too far gone, it's over, it's done, everybody's a liar, everybody's a thief, everybody's manipulating, everybody, and listen, they are. But what do people do then? They back away. Everybody backs up and they do nothing. We're those that are supposed to press in. And they say, I have nothing to do with the gossip. Let's build the kingdom of God. I believe Jesus Christ. I believe he's enough. I believe he can save you from your sins. I believe that you've got a call on your life. I believe that the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. And I believe that there's a purpose that God has, and it's greater, and it's changing people's lives. This is where we have to go. And as a body, we've got to be careful that we are not tearing one another apart. How many churches are tearing each other apart? Right? And then denominations tearing themselves apart. Right now, the Episcopal Church is being torn apart. The Methodist Church is being split in half all over the homosexual agenda. They've sat down and they said, the conservatives said, we're staying here. We're going in this direction. We're staying true to the Word of God, the liberal side of it. And half the churches are going on the, well, not half, but many of them are going on to the liberal side. The Episcopal Church, same way. They're dividing, they're splitting the church, playing right into the hand of the enemy because they got away from the Word of God. This is what we can't do. You want your marriage over in a hurry? Get away from the Word of God. You want your kids destroyed? Get away from the Word of God. Your kids are going to stumble and fall many times, and we're there to pick them up. Amen? Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand what they did. I bet you I have a clue. I got five kids. I was one. My mom told me what I did. I forgot a lot of the things I did. She reminded me. You know what we do? We keep picking them up and picking them up and picking them up. And if somebody sitting around you has offended you, if you've heard them say things about you, go to them and say, can we have a minute? Because I want to heal this relationship between you and me. I want to get stronger in my walk, and I don't want to be in the same situation as a murderer tearing the body of Christ apart. Can we grow a little bit this morning? Strengthening one another. Listen, I believe the best in every person here. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are. I know that God has got something beautiful for you. The issue is, do you believe that? See, I know according to his word, do you believe that? Or have you believed too much of the gossip and the murmuring, and therefore you won't go forward because you believe the lie? Where is my minstrel? I'm just curious. He was taking notes. Sorry, Pastor Jeff. Why don't we stand up this morning? Let's stand up. Here's what we're going to do. I want you to close your eyes. Come on. Some of you are rebelling against authority right there. You won't even close your eyes. Let's start today. And as your eyes are closed, just ask God to cleanse your mind from the defilement of any reports that you have heard. And ask him to give you a genuine love for each and everyone involved. He said he'll bring back to remembrance his word in order to strengthen you and to cleanse you and to make you whole. And you'll know that when the Holy Spirit just comes and he washes, massages that heart, some have been hardened just because of the hurt and the pain of the words that you've heard about yourselves. Others, you've caused some to harden their hearts because of the things we've said about them. But you know that your heart is, you've cleansed your heart when you lose the urge to tell someone else the evil report. When you grieve over the fact that a report was given. When you have genuine love towards the people involved in the report. You know that you're cleansed from it when you're prompt to examine your own life for failures. Father, this morning, we thank you for your word. Lord, it realigns us again and again. Father, we know that we live in a fallen world, but we walk with a risen Savior. And therefore, the darkness can never overtake the light. Lord, we make a decision today to forgive everyone who has gossiped about us or slandered about us. And Father, we ask you to forgive us for those that we've slandered about or gossiped about. So that as we walk out of here today, we've got a clean slate with you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bring it to our remembrance. If there's any that are struggling because we did not go and address it, that we would quickly go. Because we want to be used by you in a greater way, and we want your authority, your beauty, and your power to be manifested through each one of us in a greater way. And Lord, we know that one act of obedience changes everything. So Father, I pray this morning that as you cleanse us as we've asked for forgiveness, that if there's something we need to take care of and do business with, that we would be so in love with you that we would do it quickly. And Father, that as you bring more divine appointments, just as you had with Mike this past week, baptizing and getting people saved, that as we plan our week, our time and our hearts would be given to touching someone else. Father, let it not be about what we want to do or what we want to accomplish this week. Let it be about the eternal principles. Let it be about another one who doesn't know the freedom in Jesus Christ that we get to enjoy. Stir us up, O God. Stir up a heart of compassion in each one. Stir up the evangelist in each one. Stir up a love for the lost. Stir up visions and dreams in each one, O God. Lord, help some that haven't dreamed in a long time. Let them dream again. Let them start to dream again, O God, of being used by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No longer downtrodden, no longer beat up, but dream again as a son or a daughter of the King, where all things now become possible. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. I thank you for strengthening them And I thank you, Father, for breaking those chains off of each and every one of us. Strengthen them in Jesus' name today. And everyone said amen. Amen.